I give my song to you for all of my days. I love your voice. I love your name. You're so easy to worship. You're so easy to praise. You're so easy to worship. You're so easy to praise. You're so easy to worship. You're so easy to praise.
Of you, just bow your heads with me, please. Come on, I don't want to miss the moment, man. This is so good. Oh, this is so good. Man, I need you to dial into this today, because I want you to hear this. But I believe this, that man, God has such a plan for us this morning on this beach. That which God created, we get to stand on His creation and be able to put Jesus Christ in the very center of our attention. Come on, church, what happens when you put Christ in the center of your attention? No matter what you're going through, no matter what struggle you're facing, and I know no one on this beach has ever struggled. I get that. No one on this beach is going through something right now. Maybe not you, but someone next to you might be. Man, I need you to hear this today, please. Come on, even in worship, we're called to worship Him and praise Him and honor God and glorify Jesus Christ. And we're singing about His name, His all-powerful name. Man, my heart went to Psalm 31 during worship, and you've got David, and he's the king, and he's just like, David is in this place of struggle. He's just in this place. Listen, David is the anointed king. David is the Goliath killer. David is the greatest king in Israel's history. And David struggled. And David struggled. And yet you see where David struggled. Listen, he put the Lord in the center of his attention. This is what this day is about this morning, is no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, what happens when you put the Lord in the center of your struggle, in the center of your attention, right? Psalm 31, you've got David and he's just struggling, man. He says, listen, I am sorrowful. I'm at the end. Man, be gracious to me, for I am in distress. And then he says this, I want you to hear this. But as for me, I will trust in you, for you are my God and I trust in you. Man, what happens in the middle of your struggle? You can come to a place to say, but as for me, I'm not looking to my neighbor. I'm not looking to this person. I'm not looking to that person. David brings this down and makes it so personal. He says, but as for me, man, with your eyes closed this morning, I just need you to really dial into that statement this morning. But as for me, I can't look to this. I can't look to that. I can't look to this person. I can't look to that person. David felt alone, and David felt in sorrow, and David felt distressed, and David felt cornered. And he didn't look around for someone else. He says, but as for me, I put my trust in you, for you are my God. What a statement. For you are my God, and I trust in you. And then he ends this psalm with this, be strong and let your heart take courage. Be strong. That there is a force in that. There is a strength in that. There is a power in that. Be strong and let your heart, that's the inside, man. Come on, church, we got to know this, man. God by His Spirit is an inside job. It's not by your circumstance. It's not about what's going on the outside. It's on the inside. Your walk with Him is an inside job. But as for me, I will trust in you. Be strong and let your heart take courage. All you who hope in the Lord. Man, where did you put your trust in the midst of the struggle? Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for this time. Father, I pray that this time honors you and glorifies you, that you deserve our highest praise. You deserve all of our attention. And this day, Christ, we put you in the very center of our attention in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, amen. Amen. You may have a seat. Praise the Lord. Can you please say thank you to our worship team this morning? Man, so good. What a voice. Man, what a voice. I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, man, I just believe this. And I believe the Lord is going to do a work this morning. And I'm pumped to be here. My name is Sean Orbergfell. I pastor a church in Olean, New York, about 2 hours away. I've been in ministry for many years. I've been a police officer for about 30 years. So I'm a police officer and I'm a pastor. And people are like, well, how can you do that? I said, simple. It's the same thing. You're dealing with people at times at their worst. And you're dealing with people at times at their best. There's joys in both. And police work was the absolute best training for pastoring. And it is just an honor to be here today. What a privilege it is to be here with you on a beach in the wind. We sung about the wind and we're praising Jesus for the wind and he gave us wind. Isn't that amazing? Incredible. Come on, I want to speak a word to you this morning and I want you to gear up for it. I want you to be ready. Because I believe this, man, on the sand, in the wind, with the beach, standing on the very ball that God created for us to stand on, how amazing it is that you and me need to walk in a place to put Christ in the very center of our attention. The very center of our attention. Man, no matter where we're at in life, man, the reality is this, is there are times that there is going to be struggle. There are times that there's going to be difficult times. And man, in that, we can just fake it and we can smile, say everything's fine, everything's going to be okay. But then on the inside, you're just a train wreck. And man, we want to be in a place to say, no, we sung it today. In the chaos, I'll have joy. Right? I'm supposed to be called to this beautiful thing of joy, even in the midst of chaos. How is that even possible? There's no way that I can have joy and peace when my life is upside down, man, when I am in the midst of chaos and struggle. How is it that I'm supposed to maintain this level of joy and peace? Romans 15:13 says we can be complete. We can be full of joy. We can be full of peace. And we can overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of what you're tapped into. It's a matter of how you allow God by his Spirit in the midst of a struggle that Jesus Christ is and always shall be the very center of your attention. When he deserves our highest praise, it's because he's in the center of our attention. Worship's not about you and me. It's about us standing in awe and be amazed at Jesus that we are saved by an amazing, beautiful work of the cross. Man, you can do something in Christ through your struggle to know that, no, he is very present. Help in my time of need. I need Jesus. Day in and day out, I need Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit to be so working powerfully within my life in the midst of a bad season. And man, that's what today is, today. Man, we're going to cover a few things this morning. Man, I need you to just please hear me on this. I want the Word of God to penetrate. This is our sword. Man, this is my weapon. Like when I go to work, I've got a gun on my side and I know that that can do me some work. Right, this today is our weapon. This is our sword. And this is what we go to work this morning in. I believe everything in this book. I believe God Almighty is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And I believe his word is true. And you and I have the ability in the Spirit of God to live this out in such a way that we impact the lives of so many. Do you believe and do you realize that in the midst of your struggle, it can be the greatest testimony for somebody? Your struggle may not be just about you, but your struggle may be about somebody who's watching you from a distance going, oh, no, you're one of those Christ followers. You're one of those little Christ as a Christian. You're one of those who claim to be Jesus. Let me see how you do in this. And yet you find yourself with your hands raised in the middle of a problem. You find yourself in this beautiful place of worship. When you've got all this worry going on, and you've got the world watching you in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your circumstance, in the middle of your hurt, in the middle of the confusion, where your eyes are on him, your hands are still yet raised in worship, because you know your source. You know that there's power in the Holy Spirit. And that's what today will be. Man, I need you to dial into this. Come on, if you would please, if you are comfortable in this place, right in your seats, as we just say, God, speak to us this morning. Man, would you just bow your heads with me, please? Come on. Man, if you are comfortable, if you would just raise your hands before the Lord and say, God, it's time for me to receive this. But I pray that we would hear from you in this moment. God, I'm asking that you would move by your Spirit in this place in such a way that, God, we will hear from you today.
Lord, speak to us in our struggle. Speak to us in our season, God, the season that I find myself in right now. God, I pray that my eyes will be stuck on you. My hands will be raised. My heart will be towards you. And you deserve my praise and my problem. And I will worship you through my worry. My eyes are focused on you no matter what, God. And I will not lose focus. In Jesus' mighty name, speak to us from your word today. Hallelujah and amen. Come on, let me just speak. Amen, brother. Get it. Get it. I like it. I like it. Give me some juice, baby. Come on. I love it. I don't know how this is going to work. This may not work. This may not work for me, but we'll handle it. Come on. I want to start in Psalm 142. If you got your word with you, come on. Come with me to Psalm 142. Again, I love when our lives meet the reality of the Bible. And I love when you can test your life against the Bible and say, listen, when you see some of these superheroes of faith, well, they struggled. Sometimes we buy into the lie in the church that says, listen, once you get saved, man, it's just like walking on water for everybody. Well, don't forget, when Peter walked on water, he ate some seaweed. He also sank, right? So it's just not like it's not like when you come to Jesus, everything is just so smooth and everything is so perfect for you. No, when you come to Jesus, there are going to be times of tribulation. There are going to be times of struggle. There are going to be times that you dig your heels in and you say, listen, it's Jesus and nothing else. And you're going to take some hits for that. Well, guess what? Jesus struggled. Paul struggled. David struggled. Moses struggled. Abraham struggled. You can go down the list if their name's in the book. They struggled. Why do we think any different for you and I? Or we just like to fake it. I know it's not us, but how many times you come across people that you know they're in it. You know that they are in the fire. You know that they are struggling. And you go and you want to talk to them and you want to encourage them. And they won't receive it because everything's fine. No, I'm good. Don't need no help. Don't need nobody. I'm good. And you know. I know you're hurting. I know you're struggling. And I know you're broken. And Jesus has the answer for that. Come on, guys, I want to get into this. And I believe that the Lord is going to do a work this morning on this beach. I want to have an opportunity even to pray with you afterwards and just see God do a work. Today's a special day, man. Come on, Psalm 142 says this. And this is David. And I love this because this is David in Psalm 142. David's hiding in a cave. Yeah, King David. He's already killed Goliath. He's not the king yet, but he's already killed Goliath. Right, he's had some major battles. You've got the Israelites singing songs about David. You know, Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. And like, everyone's juiced about David. David has had his moment. David has killed Goliath. David has already, watch this now, this is huge. David has already had his destiny planned out for him. He's already been told, you're going to be the king. He was a shepherd boy hiding in the field. No one thought anything about David. Dad didn't even think about David. Went through the whole list. Say, all right, you got to go to the house of Jesse. Who's going to be anointed as king? His dad goes through all of his brothers. Don't even think about David. Is there anybody else? Well, my youngest is in the field. Wait a minute. You didn't even think about David? Like, Samuel had to ask you if you had any more sons because none of the top made it? Well, there's one left. Could you imagine being that son? Yeah, there's one left. He's just a shepherd in the field. Bring him in. Yeah, this is the one. David, you're going to be anointed as king of Israel. Going to be the greatest king in Israel's history. But right here, we see David hiding in a cave. He's got the strongest army on the earth after him at this time. Like, what is it when your destiny's already been called out? What is it when you know God's plan for you? You're dialed into God's plan. David knew God's plan. David's destiny was planned out. David was already a giant killer. David already had people singing his psalms. And he finds himself hiding in a cave. Do you think he thought it was going to go that way? Truly, do you think he thought that this is the way it's going to go for me. All the accolades, all the high fives, all the songs, sitting at Saul's table, hanging out with the best of the best. Your name is always the history of Israel as a giant killer. Did he actually think that this is how it was going to go? How many times in our life? I just think of so many people that we actually think it's not supposed to be this way. It's not supposed to be this way for me. Which is maybe David had that thought in Psalm 142. I didn't think it was going this direction for me. And I think at times in life we all get to that place. Say, God, I didn't think it was going to be this hard. God, I didn't think this was supposed to happen to me. God, why is it this way? And mind you, some of life's struggles are self-inflicted. If there's sin in our life, we need to repent. Sin can cause devastation. Sin can cause brokenness. If it's sin, we need to deal with that before a God who is so gracious, before a God who is so compassionate. But there's so many times in life that we didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this tragedy. I didn't ask for this event to take place. I don't feel like I've done anything in my life to deserve this. I didn't ask for this. I've been living in a way that would honor God, but yet here I am. I didn't think it was going to be like this. That's David in the cave, and this is where he's at. He says, I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. This is David, and he's praying, man. This is David. He knows where to go. This is David in a deep struggle. This is David that didn't believe that it was supposed to be this way, and he's crying out, man. He knew where to go. How many times? Listen, my wife is a genius, and there's so many times that people come up and ask for prayer, or she'll spend time with people, and one of Renee's first questions is, did you pray about this? And you'd be surprised. Actually, no. Church, how is it of us as Christ followers that's not our first go-to? That's not our first go-to. When you come up for prayer, there's time that you're at church, or what happens if someone asks you, well, did you pray about this? And in your heart, you know, nah, I actually didn't bring it to the Lord yet. Well, this is David, and he's bringing it to the Lord. He says, I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. And please, I love this word, pour out. It literally means to dump. I dump it all on him. Church, what is it for you and me to cast all our care on him because he cares for us? Church, wow, watch this. What is it to know that we serve a God who is everywhere all at once, but yet there are moments in our lives that we serve a God who's everywhere but he draws close? How is it that we serve a God who is everywhere but in our moments, in our struggles, and in our life, we serve a God who will draw close. We serve a God who will draw us so near. Thanks, Jake. Love you, buddy. We serve a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. What happens when we bank on his truth? Church, I love this. I love this for me. I love to know that, God, you are everywhere. But, God, you know where I'm at. And if I just draw near to you, your word says that you will draw near to me. Church, I've learned to take him at his word. I've learned to take God at his word. So, God, you said, if I draw near to you, you will draw near to me. You said that I am called to cast all of my cares. Things that you would think small, God says, I can deal with that. Things that you would think big, God says, no, I can deal with that. Cast all your care on me because I care for you. And this is what David is doing. This is where David is at. He pours out. He dumps his complaint on the Lord. He pours it out. He declares my trouble before him. And my spirit was overwhelmed. This is where he's at, man. My spirit was overwhelmed. He says, listen, I am just feeling heavy right now. I'm pouring all of my trouble, all of my distress. Again, my man is hiding in a cave. And he says, God, I'm struggling. This is where David is. David is like, God, I'm struggling. And when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Church, what does that mean? When it says my spirit, again, the inside job. Your heart, your soul, your spirit, that's on the inside. That's your inside job. He says, when my spirit was overwhelmed. I mean, I know that all of us can relate to this. All of us can relate to when our spirit is so heavy that you come to a place to say, I don't think I can take this anymore. God, I'm feeling so overwhelmed. I'm feeling so heavy on this. God, I don't know how much more I can take. This is where David is. God, I didn't see it going this way. I didn't think it was going to be this. I can't take this anymore. Like, church, what happens when you're honest with God? What happens when you're honest with the one who knows all things? What happens when you're honest with the one who knows what you're going to say before you say it, but you're actually dumping on the Lord all of your hurts, all of your struggles, all of your complaints? And when your spirit is just overwhelmed, where do you turn? What do? Where do you go? Well, David gives us the answer here. He says, my spirit was overwhelmed within me. And then he says this, verse 3, he says this, for you knew my path and the way where I walk. David is saying, Lord, I know that you're with me. I know that you know I'm hiding in a cave. I know the call of my life to be the king. And God, I know that you know that I'm hiding in a cave. You know my walk. You know my way. You know exactly where I am. Church, this is such a great word. Sometimes we can be lied to by the enemy that says, listen, God has forgotten about you. You prayed, and God hasn't even answered. Where is your God? Sometimes we can be overwhelmed within us to think, no, God, have you deserted me? God, where are you in this? I'm telling you, man, there's times in my life that I'm like, God, where are you in this? God, what are you doing in this? Where are you in this? And you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and then that little side voice begins to get in. Your God doesn't hear you. Your God doesn't care. Now, David is like, God, I am struggling. I'm afflicted. I'm in a tight place. I am overwhelmed. But David dialed in to the truth. You know my path. You know where I'm at. For they have hidden a trap from me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape from me. No one cares for my soul. And David's like, man, I was the Goliath killer. Songs were being sung about me. I was sitting at the king's table. And now I find myself alone. I can't find somebody who cares for my soul. David was struggling. But I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you, I love this. For you are my refuge. For you are my portion. God, I cried out to you, for you are my shelter. You are the one who protects. You're the one who gives me my inheritance. You're the one, portion means my future. Portion means my inheritance. You are my portion. You're the one who's given me my future. This is where David is. He says, give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me, that's rescue me from my persecutors. Bring my soul out of prison. Look at the words on this. Bring my soul out of prison. This is where David feels like he's at on the inside. Bring my soul out of prison. Verse 7, here it is. So that I may give thanks to your name. Your version may say that I might praise you. that I may give thanks to your name. This word give thanks is the word yadah in the Hebrew. And maybe, again, this is not a command, but if you are comfortable when you raise your hands in worship, this is where we get this word. The word yadah means to throw hands up. It's just a posture of praise. That's all it is. But there is a freedom in this word yadah. And this is what he says, so that I may yadah your name, so that I may posture myself with my hands raised to give you praise. David is like, I will praise you through the problem. I could imagine David on his face before the Lord in a cave with his hands held high to say, listen, I cry out to you that I might praise your name, for you are my shelter. You are my portion. This is where David is, and the righteous will surround me, for you deal bountifully with me. Come on, there's another portion of scripture I want to get to. I just want to read this. It's very familiar, and you know it. But I think it rings so true here. And I love this. And this is where Paul was struggling. Right? You've got Paul. He's given us half the books in New Testament. Paul's kind of a big deal. Right? He's really a big deal. And you've got Paul, and he's struggling at a point in his ministry. And you've got Paul, man. Listen, Paul went through it. Right? Paul went through it. He says, man, I have been beaten times without number. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. Man, I've been stoned once. Usually you're not stoned twice, but he was stoned once. And listen, when he says, man, I was whipped 5 times. Like when you begin to understand Paul's story, I've been abandoned, I've been shipwrecked. Like, this is Paul's spiritual resume. And then there's this place in 2 Corinthians, we see this. Verse 7 says this, 2 Corinthians 12. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. And this is one of those things that you're just like, okay, what is Paul going through? This isn't sin. This isn't self-inflicted. This is one of those things that keeps Paul grounded. Paul knew he was a big deal. Please understand this. Paul knew his resume without Christ was like he was a big deal. He was the one with the letters of persecution. He was the one that thought he was doing God's service by killing and destroying Christians, those who named the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Paul was a big deal. Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. Paul had it all. Paul came to Christ. Paul lost all that, but he gained everything else. And in that, Paul struggled. And in that, Paul's like, listen, to be able to keep me grounded. Paul knew that he was a ready writer for the Holy Spirit. Paul knew that. Paul knew that he was bringing forth God's word. And he says, to keep me grounded, he says this, concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that this might leave me. There is a thorn in my flesh. I don't believe that that's physical. I believe that this is an inside job. This is something going on in Paul's spirit. This isn't physical. This is something we don't know what it is. We don't know what that thorn in his flesh was. Nobody knows. Can't speculate. Not going to guess. But we know he struggled with it. He said, 3 times I asked of this to be delivered from this. 3 times. Once he goes before the Lord. Lord, man, whatever this is, can you take this off? Can you deliver me from this? No answer. We don't have a timeline on this. We don't know when the second time was. Lord, man, I am still struggling. There is still this thorn. Man, could you remove this from me? A second time, he asked the Lord, take this from me. No answer. Come on, church, how many times do we feel like we've gone before the Lord and there's just silence? A third time, we don't know the timeline on this. A third time, Paul goes before the Lord. Lord, what is going on? Can you take this from me? And it's amazing to me, when you read this passage, the Lord doesn't give a yes. The Lord doesn't give a no. This is Paul. He's struggling. He's suffering. He's going through it. Verse 9 gives us this picture. And the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. That's not a yes, and that's not a no. The Lord says, no, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of your soul being broken, this is what he says, and I love it. He says, my grace is enough. Paul, my grace is enough for your struggle. I don't have to take it from you. You got to know this. My grace is enough in the midst of your struggle. My grace is enough in the midst of your pain. My grace is enough in the midst of your tragedy. I know you didn't ask for it. I know you don't think you deserve this. But my grace is enough for you. Come on, we need to hear that today. No matter where we're at in life, you got to understand, no matter what I'm struggling with, no matter what tragedy I'm facing, no matter where my soul is broken, no matter what's going on the inside, God's grace is enough for me. Amen. When you can dial into that, say, God, I don't need a yes or no, but I need this word. And amazing, that one word, one sentence from God. And Paul rearranged everything. Watch this. I want you to see this. Because once you get redialed, and once you get refocused, and once you get that sentence from God, his verse, his word, when somebody speaks into your life and gives you a verse, and it just hammers right where you're at, and you dial down on that, and you get that, it doesn't take a chapter for your life to be changed. It takes you hearing from the Lord. Aren't you glad that church on the beach is not one of those things you just come and just check a box? I did my church today. I just did my thing. I checked the box. No, I know those who run church on the beach, and they want God to move every single week. We don't just play church. We don't just come do what we're supposed to do. We believe God is going to meet us right here on the sand, and we want to exalt Christ as Lord and Savior. And you see this, man. You see this in Paul. And he says this. Come on, I'm closing down in a minute. He says this. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. That's all he said. For power is perfected in weakness. If I could have my keyboard come up, please, and the worship team, that would be amazing. This church, I want you to get this. This is when you hear a word from the Lord, it can change everything. And it might be one word. What if you're praying and all of a sudden you just hear the Holy Spirit whisper, wait. Wait on me. Cease striving and trust. What happens when that word comes and you're like, okay, now I've got something to hold on to. And this is what Paul held on to. He said this, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected. The word perfected here, it means power makes us complete. It's mature. Power perfects our weakness. Weakness here, it means our struggle. It means our season. For power is perfected in weakness. And then Paul says this, most gladly, therefore, I'd rather boast about my weakness. Listen, look at the change. He's like, God, take this from me. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm broken. Can you please remove this thorn in my flesh? And God just says, no, wait a minute, Paul, my grace is enough for you. For my power is made complete in your weakness. If you are strongest when you're strong, that's not God. That's on you. And that's temporary. Please hear me. If you're strongest only when you're strongest, that's not God. That's you. God says, no, in your weakness, I make you strong. In your weakness, in your struggle, in your broken, in your hurt. He says, I'm the one who makes you strong. If you're strong because of you, that's only going to last for a moment. Man, it's temporary. Watch this. Watch this. I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. I would rather boast about my weakness so the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then. When I am weak, then. When I am weak, then I am made strong. Church, two things are going to happen when you go through struggle. Please hear me. Wherever you're at on this beach, I need you to listen. Two things are going to happen when you go through struggle. You're either going to lean in or you're going to take steps away from Christ. How many of you know that they've gone through it, and instead of leaning in to the Holy Spirit, instead of leaning in to what God would have for them through the struggle, instead of leaning in and in my weakness, God, I get the privilege to experience your power. That word power is a supernatural force. It's a might that comes upon us. It's a strength that gets us through. And this is that supernatural power. And in that, God, I know that in the midst of my struggle, when I lean in at my weakest, God, your grace is enough. In my struggle, God, your grace is enough. And I know that when you lean into that, you get to see God's mighty hand work on your behalf. But how many times, church, in the midst of a struggle, do we step back? We don't learn to lean in, but we actually walk away from Christ. We allow the struggle to dictate. We allow the circumstance to dictate. And in that, we've actually come to that place and say, God, I don't see you in this. And you actually walk away instead of leaning in. And I'll end with a story where my uncle Paul, probably one of the greatest preachers that I've ever heard. He's gone to be with the Lord many years ago. But in the beginning of ministry, man, he was just going to be a missionary, and he was going out to the deep weeds of Brazil. True story. And he was just going to go out. This is in the days way back when you lived on the land, you learned the language, you dressed like they dressed, you ate the food that they ate, like you planned on being there. That was your life. You're the missionary that's in Brazil, and you're going to know these people. You're going to eat with these people. You're going to live with these people. You're going to talk with these people. And he tells this amazing story about what it is to lean in. He said, as a young boy becomes a man, they go through this little ceremony. And it's just crazy. I can't wrap my mind around how they do this. But as a young boy to become a man, the father with the group of the tribe of other men take his son down to the river. And in the river, there's these anacondas and there's these huge snakes. And as these snakes, the boy would have to stand on this place and just wait for this anaconda to rip through the water. And this is crazy. Come out of the water and wrap himself around his son. And as this snake would come out of the water and wrap him, trying to pull the son in, the dad would say, son, you need to lean into it. If you pull away, you lose your balance and he sucks you in. Lean into it, son. Lean into it, son. And the snake would release. And he said, son, you need to stand there again. And the snake would come whipping out of the water and wrap around his son, and the dad, with everything in him, saying, son, you need to lean in. You can't step back. Son, lean into it. Son, take the hit. Lean into it. And the snake would release. And the third time, the snake would come ripping out of the water. And the dad would say, son, this is it. One more time. Hold on. Lean into it. Don't let go. Lean into it. Church, how many times do we say, listen, God, I just need to lean into you? Come on, if we could stand to our feet, please. We're going to close in a song. Man, if you're in this place and you need prayer for any reason, don't miss us. Today's your day to lean in. Today's your day to lean in. Come on, everyone, just bow your heads, please, for a moment. Come on, where are you in this? Right here today, not worried about who's in front of you, behind you. Not worried about the sand on your feet. Where are you in this moment? This is your moment. Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you actually come to give your life to Christ? Do you know what it is to be born again, to be saved? Number one, we repent from our sin. Number two, we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Number three, we confess that He's Lord. I recognize sin's the problem, Jesus is the solution. And that's it. Sin's the problem. Sin equals death. I get that. Separated from God because of my sin. I get it. Well, what's the answer? Jesus is that answer. God so loved you, He gave His own Son dying on a cross for you, that you would come to know Him in such a real way, to know that Jesus sacrificed Himself on that cross for you. And when He did that, He gave you opportunity to come to know Him as Lord and Savior. Repent from your sin. Confess that Christ is Lord, which means He's now in charge. I believe that Jesus did something I could not do, died on that cross for me. And in this moment in the sand, I say, Jesus, You are now Lord of my life. I confess. I turn my life over to You. Man, we want to talk to You about that. Come on, as these guys are singing, if you need prayer for any reason, we love to talk about Jesus. You want to talk about Jesus and what it truly means to give your life to Him, what it truly means to be born again? I want to be able to do that with you. I want to have a crew up here. They're going to want to do that with you. So as they're singing, you can worship. But if you need prayer for any reason, man, we'd love to pray over you. Come on.